Welcome to this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
I got up this morning and, well, actually as I woke, I just felt Holy Spirit so on me, so in this place. I just want to encourage you. Never underestimate what's here. The history, the process of this church. Never underestimate the process you've been in of late. And never underestimate who is in you. Because everything is here already to fulfill the mandate on this church. Because it's resident within Holy Spirit who is in you. So don't underestimate this gathering, okay? I really want to encourage you in that, because we can do that. We can get a bit discouraged at times, can't we? And a bit familiar, yeah? So someone who's an outsider has come in just to say, well, outsider, I feel like I'm family. I've come in to say, do not underestimate who is here in you, because the presence of the Lord is thick here. He is so for you. The Lord has placed three main areas on my heart for you guys. So I don't get to speak a lot other than preach at my husband. And he's very gracious. He takes it. Boys, my boys do too. So this is my husband, Peter. We have two boys. Caleb's 24 and Elijah's 21. Wonderful lads, worship Jesus and loving with their lives, but normal blokes, you know, love blokey things. So we're normal people, we're not fancy, but fancy is overrated, I found out. So I come in a really ordinary package, and I'll possibly muddle my way through, because I do practice what I preach, but I don't get to practice preaching very much. So if you guys can just love on me, because we're family, hey?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, about a year ago, Pastor Joe and Jody visited our house and mentioned you guys to us and just said, hey, would you like to, because there's not a lot of preaching gigs where we are. And he said, would you like to go and hone this skill and encourage the people there? And knowing that I have a history 30 years ago of being here in this church, which is really cool, he said, would you like to do that? Now, instantly, can I just encourage you in God? Like, the supernatural surpasses every logical thing, okay? In God, I instantly loved you. That's odd, isn't it? Even for a blonde chick. So, in God, I instantly felt a connection and a love for you. Instantly, my heart was invested in you. Now, it took a whole year for this to come to pass. So, for a whole year, I've been kind of marinating in that. And saying, well, Holy Spirit, what's on your heart for your people, this part of your body? And this is what I do believe. So although everything is resident here, ready and ripe for the outpouring of what God wants to do here, the mandate on this church, there's been some things that have held it up. And I believe that I may have some keys here for you. And I just want to encourage you in this. This is a really mixed bag this morning, a prophetic teaching. It's all sorts. I am a mixed bag. So take me as I come and of course, test the word. Yeah? All right. So as I was asking the Lord for confirmation on these things he'd placed in my heart, he took me to the book of Amos. Have you ever read Amos? It was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I have no idea what's going on here. It's really cryptic, quite creative, metaphoric. So I hit the Bible commentary, which is really handy for us Christians. Go to the Bible commentary, and it said, how cool is this? The Amos was addressing and speaking prophetically to the people at Bethel. I'm like, tick, thank you, Jesus, that's one. But as I worked through the book of Amos, what I recognised, those three main areas that God had put on my heart, is actually principally mentioned throughout Amos. So we're not going to labour on Amos, but I just wanted to ground it just to say God has confirmed things for me, and we'll just make slight reference to Amos throughout. So the first point that I really felt God, which I have touched on already, wants to say is that God will always gather a remnant to fulfill his purpose. Right? So God is not, and this is mentioned in the end of Amos. It talks about a remnant. It actually talks about through the lineage of David that Christ would be the one who establishes this covenant that creates this remnant, which is us. Yeah? So we are the ones that have a mandate now, right, of Christ. We are the remnant. But I want to encourage you that God doesn't actually need numbers. And he's quite intentional about that. And I'll show you that in the Word. There's just a few examples that we're going to kind of rush through because there's some main points I really want to get to. So one example is Gideon's army. So Gideon started with 32,000. And that was still small compared to the enemy that he was coming up against. But he was like, okay, 32,000, what can we do with this? God, in his wisdom, began to, through process of elimination, whittle that down to 300 men. That's kind of freaky, yeah? Okay, so 300 men. God whittled it down to a remnant. What was he looking for in that remnant? The characteristics God was looking for. Courageous, not fearful. Alert, warlike, determined, strong, ready to stand for what is theirs. Now, the result of God using this remnant was terror and confusion for the enemy. Hey, God can do mighty things with a remnant. Elijah thought he was the only prophet, and God comes and just says, look, Elijah, I've actually reserved 7,000 men who would not bow their knee to Baal. What was God looking for? He was looking for worshippers of God alone, unswerving in their faith, even to death, faithful and not afraid of man, no fear of man. Yeah? What was the result? Jezebel was exposed and destroyed. And I believe God wants to actually deal with that spirit here. Jesus had many hundreds of followers. So that was Old Testament. Let's pop it in the New Testament to ground it right across the Word. Jesus had many followers, right? But it was only 120 that were in the upper room in the end, yeah? What was he looking for in those people? Perseverance, desire, faith. They weren't complacent. Worshippers of Jesus, not afraid of man or of losing their reputation. What was the result? 5,000 saved in a day. Whoa. And the beginning of an unquenchable Holy Spirit movement that hasn't ceased. God can use a remnant. He didn't need huge numbers. He whittled it down intentionally because there were certain characteristics he's looking for within the remnant. Okay? This is an interesting one. In Revelations, it speaks of the churches, and it says at the end of each of those sections on the chapters on the churches, it says, to he who overcomes, and it speaks of great honour and reward. But there's characteristics that he's looking for within those churches of people to be overcomers. This is an interesting one. The list goes on. Uncompromising worshippers of Jesus. He's their first love. Faithfulness even through persecution unto death. Remaining true to God's name. Not bowing to witchcraft. Not being deceived by Jezebel's teaching. Didn't settle for religion that was dead, but had an appearance of being alive. Not complacent in their faith, they kept his word and patiently endured. Now, this is really interesting because God gives those overcomers who carry those qualities a position of great honour for eternity. He's speaking that to us, yeah? So, let's just take note that in those first few examples, so say, let's just take Gideon, those 300 fighting men. The principle of God is this. He's happy to use the few to make way for the many. So this isn't all there's ever going to be here, guys. You're the few that are going to make way for the many. So it took 300 men with the right qualities to bring about and make way for 32,700 men and all their families. How cool is that? So the principle of God is multiplication. He doesn't need the many to save the many. He'll use the few to usher in the many. So that gives us all a great opportunity that there should actually encourage you. But the instance I spoke of in Revelation is slightly different, because that actually talks about that few have great reward. So it doesn't say that everyone else won't be saved or won't get a reward, but it specifically notes that those, that remnant, that few that overcome, that carry those qualities, will actually have great honour and reward and position in eternity. So it's not that you go through all this for everyone else and they get a free ride. God is so into reward. It's actually his nature. He loves to reward. He's so generous and good. Not that we deserve it. He's just generous and good. So the few can make way for the many, but guys, there's great reward for that sacrifice, for what you do, for the handles you put on things for others, okay? So be encouraged. God is intentional. You guys are that remnant here. And there's actually a scripture in Acts 17:26 that says God decided exactly when you guys should live, and he decided exactly where you should live. How interesting is that? You're not here by mistake. This is ordained by God. You're the remnant here in Bethel Family Center that is to usher in, already equipped. You have everything within you to usher in what God wants to do, the mandate for this church. And you'll usher it in for the many, which speaks of multiplication. Hey, you guys should be feeling really encouraged right now, because I'm actually speaking what God wants to do. And he's just saying, do you want to agree with me? Do you want to join on the ride, guys? Because this is what I've got planned. And he's saying it's all here, ready to go. What are the things that are holding up? So this is the second point. And this is a big one. I want to labour on this a bit more. The power of agreement. So this is actually spoken of in the middle of Amos. And it says, can two walk together unless they agree? So it doesn't just take a remnant with great qualities. It takes a remnant walking in agreement, in unity. That's a whole nother level, hey? So it's not an individualistic thing. This is actually corporately what we carry, yeah, to usher this in. So everyone here is responsible for this. Did you hear that? Everyone here is responsible for this. And now that you're hearing it, you are responsible for it. If you can't plead ignorance, sorry, I'm spouting it out. So the power of agreement. Let's talk about what this is. Everything comes back to agreement, because agreement is giving authorization to. What I agree with, I empower. I'll try and make sense of this for you. So back in the garden, what happened for man to hand over his dominion, his authority? The devil came and required agreement from man. And once he used deception, once man agreed with the devil and did what he said, oh yeah, that sounds right. Okay, he came into agreement with the demonic. He empowered the demonic. He handed or gave authorization to. So that's the power of agreement. Now, God knows it because he set it up this way. He gives you a free will. And he will never, ever manipulate your will. Never, because that is not his spirit. That is the spirit of the demonic, because it needs to deceive for you to get your agreement. However, God does not. He does not, and he will never do that for you, to you. So he gives you a free will, and he knows the power of it. He set it up that way. And that's why there was two trees in the garden. Tree of knowledge of good and evil, tree of life. Because you needed to have a choice, right? That's the way he is. So now it's that same scenario. We still have choice. So each of us here is responsible for our choices. So what do we agree with? So just to ground it, when I speak of truth. So we want to come into agreement with truth. Just to ground that, when I say truth, I don't mean anyone's idea of truth. I mean the absolute found truth of the word. which always is always a reflection and expression of the character of God, of the will and the heart and the ways of God. And it will never compromise on that, even if we chuck tantrums, even if we think our idea is better. God will never compromise on his character, on his will, heart and way. Okay, so that is our standard when we talk of truth. Also, just a little note, Jesus is the Word made flesh, right? And the Word is the truth. So the truth is actually a person, Jesus. So when we are growing in truth and learning what truth is and agreeing with truth, we're actually surrendering to the lordship of Jesus in our life. So it's a growing closer to truth is growing closer to Christ himself, okay? So we're speaking of a person as well. So guys, let me just give you some examples of agreement, just to try and bring it home to a degree. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And it's we who utter the amen. We speak the amen to the glory of God." What is that principle about? God says yes to his promises, but they don't automatically happen. Because what it requires is our agreement. We say, "Yes, God, amen. Yes, do it, God." And by the unity of our agreement with God, those promises are established and come to pass. So there's the principle of agreement in operation, yeah? So if you're wondering why things aren't coming to pass, have you said yes to God's yes? Come into agreement with him. It's very interesting because it sounds like faith, doesn't it? Agreement, faith. Hey, same kind of principle. Matthew 18:18-20 says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you truly that if two of you on the earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven." Now, he qualifies this statement, "For where two or three gather together in my name, there I am in the midst." So it's not if you just agree on anything. It's if you agree according to his name, which is heart, will, and character. And he said, "My Father will honour that." So do you see how your agreement with each other in prayer and in declaration actually moves God to act? That sounds like faith too, doesn't it? So agreement and faith, very similar response from God. This is an example of collective agreement, like more than one or two, that is negative, which is really interesting as an example in the Bible. The Tower of Babel, you know the story of the Tower of Babel. So those people actually came in unity, in agreement, because of their understanding. They had commonality through their vision and goal. And God said, "This is not good," because he understood the power of their agreement will actually empower the demonic, right? So, of course, he said, "Let's create a confusion." So if you think of this in regard to where it talks about principalities and powers, what does collective agreement do? What you'll see is like gathering like. You'll see areas where commonality of agreement establishes demonic strongholds, even empowers principalities and powers to have great influence because of their agreement. Like, you know, we talk maybe of areas that there's concentrated witchcraft, or areas there's concentrated poverty, or abuse and addictions. It may even be townships, cities, hey? So where there's a collective agreement, they're empowering demonic things. But there's really good news about that, because we want to hear what God says. Well, what can you do about that, all right? Because we're the head, not the tail, yeah? And we're here to carry out God's plan and make a difference. So the word actually says, and these are some keys I really believe that God wants to give you. They're going to kind of take the lid off why you're not having the results you should be having for the effort you're putting in. All right? Romans 12:2 says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." There's something about the way we think and what we agree with that needs transforming, that process of sanctification that needs to happen. And this is tied up with agreement. All right, so this is something we all need to do and be really steadfast in doing. We need to actually stop and think about what we're thinking about. It's a lot of self-talk that goes on and we don't grab it. And we don't go, is that actually talk that I want to agree with or not? Or is it just going on in my life and I've been buffeted about by all this kind of thought process and I've never actually stopped and grabbed it? And there's a scripture that tells us to do that. It's a very cool scripture in 2 Corinthians 10. Guys, I really encourage you. This particular scripture set me free and has been just kept steadfastness for me in my walk with Christ. It's actually turbo boosted the sanctification process in me, the healing and the restoration in me too. So I really encourage you, get hold of this. So 2 Corinthians 10, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with have divine power to demolish strongholds. So we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of the truth of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So let's break it down. Let me explain this. So you haven't thought. You have thoughts all day long, right? The word says, take that thought captive. Now, hold it up against the standard of truth. Who is Jesus? Now remember, the devil uses scripture too. So religion is not what we're after. We're not after being good and conforming other than to Christ. So what we're looking at is, what am I thinking? And does it match the truth, the character, the heart, the will of Jesus, who is truth? And does it actually come as an argument and set itself up against that truth, that knowledge of who God is in my life? And if it does, I take it captive. It's quite fervent language. I take it captive and I make it subject to truth. In other words, I break agreement by captivating, by arresting it and saying, I see you, I do not agree with you, but I come into agreement with truth. The word actually says, in that moment, I am actually breaking strongholds. So if you have patterns of thinking that are creating a response in your life, you're going round and round mountains, there's, you know, people you're struggling with, names that come up and your heart goes, argh. These thought patterns, addictions, there can be all sorts of stuff going on in all our lives. This is a key for you. What are you thinking? What are you accepting? Grab a hold of it. Line it up towards truth and go, this is the standard. Doesn't agree with it, I'm going to break agreement with it. And therefore, remember, what I agree with, I empower. So when I disagree with it, I also disempower it. So that stronghold is broken. And it may need you, because if this has been a long-term pattern, it may need you to actually do it a few times. Not just a once-off, but do it a few times. And keep it up. Be vigilant. Because those are the characteristics God is building here. That's what he's after in the remnant, these vigilant, warlike people who aren't going to just accept wrong thought life and deceptive thoughts, but they're going to actually take hold of truth. There's going to be that remnant is going to bring to pass the mandate on this church. Okay, that's you guys. So truth sets us free. You know, we make all these statements in our church life and, the truth sets us free. How? Because we can say that and then we walk out and we're not free. So we actually have to agree with truth for truth to set us free. It's like the promises of God, and they're not automatic. It takes our agreement. God is so into working with us. Yeah? Everything he did for us was on the cross. Now everything from here on is with us. Okay? Because it's all in you. All in you. He's just bringing it out through this process. So we can come into personal freedom, right? But it's interesting that corporately, as we come into freedom together in right agreement, we're not just breaking strongholds personally, we can actually break strongholds over groups of people. We can break strongholds over communities, over cities, because the way God works, hey, multiplication. Darkness has got no patch on light. Light is way greater, way more powerful than light. So that a few in agreement can break demonic strongholds, guys. Do you see that? Oh, do you see that? The power that is resident within you rose Christ from the dead. Right. Nothing, no demonic stronghold, no, the devil himself could not hold him down. Jesus rose again because of the power of Holy Spirit. And that power is resident within you to break the strongholds over this congregation, not just yourself, this congregation, this city, nation. Hey, let's just go to the world. Let's just do this. Let's just be big thinkers. Hey, why not? Everything we do, everything within the kingdom is never about ourselves. Any victory I come into is always to expand the kingdom. Yeah? Always be a kingdom thinker. So this process will always bring people into unity. When we come into agreement with truth, it will automatically bring us into a right agreement if we all enact this, because it's the heart of God and it's the kingdom of God, the kingdom culture that's being established here through right agreement. And there's scriptures in Ephesians, just to encourage you in this, we'll whip through it. Be completely humble and gentle. It's Ephesians 4:2. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And then we'll move up to 11 to 16. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists and pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service. That you guys, for the works of the service, the remnant, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith. Do you notice it doesn't say unity in our preferences and likes and dislikes? It says unity in faith. What is that? Unity in the truth. The truth of who he is and who we are in him. Because then it goes and says, unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. That's the same language used in 2 Corinthians, I said, about bringing everything to that standard if it argues with the knowledge of God. So we're talking about truth here. Agreement with truth creates and establishes a unity in our faith. Then we no longer, now this is your maturity happening here because of this process that we're all in together. Then there will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Ooh, does that happen in the church? You know what? That's their agreement with deception. That's all it is. Okay? Instead, we want to be people here speaking the truth in love. What is that? Agreement with love. Right? And we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. We become Christ-like through this process. From him, the whole body joined together and held together by every supporting ligament grows up, and cop this, builds itself up in love. So when we're actually walking in agreement to truth, we actually carry what it takes to build ourselves up, one another up in love, because we're establishing Jesus already. We ain't got to reach for something we already got. We just got to come into agreement with it. So why do we keep having troubles in church? Why do we keep having disunity? Because, you know, Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they agree? Ephesians 6:12 says this. Our fight is not against human beings. All right? It's against the rulers, the authorities and the powers of this dark world. It's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So when we're struggling with divisions in the church, although human beings are involved, the word says it's actually not, our fight is not against them. Now this creates a bit of a conundrum. Because for me, it was clearly my brother or sister who actually mistreated me. And the word's saying, your fight's not against them. How do I handle that? What do I do with that? Well, that is a conundrum that I think has been many years long. Let's look at this whole thing in regard to the principle of agreement. All right. So what happens? And we're all are going through this process. So we're not going to point fingers at anyone, okay? We're all in this together. Is that rain?
Yeah.
Woohoo! Thank you, Jesus. That's cool. So let me explain what happens. The areas of our souls, so the word talks about sanctification, which is this process. We are saved, but we're being saved. The areas of the soul are becoming more Christ-like as we surrender to Him. Yeah? So what happens, we all have areas of the soul unsanctified. And there's wounds. There's trauma. There's been terrible things happen to us. Good and bad. There's all sorts of stuff going on in the soul. Are you able to hear me? Is it all right? I'll just keep talking. And what happens is that the demonic needs your agreement because it wants to take your authority and power, okay? Because it wants to render you useless, okay? So the demonic comes and it starts to feed those wounds and those unsanctified areas of your soul. And it will feed it with suggestions, deceptive suggestions. So at that point, we need to go to 2 Corinthians 10 and go, am I going to receive this and agree with it or not? Because when we agree with it and say the demonic brings suggestions and lays it on areas of insecurity and hurts in our lives and we agree with it, in that moment we are empowering the demonic. We're not empowering truth to bring life and wholeness. So then what happens in a group situation is that like attracts like. And what we find is people with the same agreements come together, good or bad. And so the demonic creates these areas of strongholds within groups within groups, of people coming into wrong agreement together. Because what they agree with, they empower. Then you find there's these kind of odd feelings and vibes and things going on, and you're not sure why. That's what's going on. Because the fight isn't about the person. It's about the demonic thing that is exploiting the person. God's not actually happy with that because Jesus' blood paid for their redemption, paid for their freedom. So what do we do? What do we do about this? God has made a promise to us, and this brings us to the beginning of Amos. And I believe fervently God has made this promise for you guys, that He will deal with your enemies. I'm declaring, prophesying this. Guys, God Himself is saying to you, He will deal with your enemies.
Yes.
That's it. It's interesting that what it talks about in the beginning of Amos, it says the enemies were the surrounding neighbours, right? And it says that they were cruel, they took captives, they were betrayed by them. And check this out, it says that they broke the treaty of brotherhood. That statement there was something I really felt Holy Spirit wanted to bring home here. That there's been those that have broken the treaty of brotherhood, okay? And it hurts, I get it. So we're not denying that things hurt, right? We need to understand that God wants to deal with the enemy. Do you believe that God is just? So what does the justice of God look like when it's actually my brother in Christ who mistreated me? Another conundrum. Well, this is very cool. And I love this about God. Well, I love everything about God. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, and Jesus will never ever join with the accuser against you. All right? He's in covenant with you, and he will not break that covenant. So he will never join with the accuser against you. The thing is, your brothers and sisters that mistreat you are also in covenant with him, and he will never break his covenant with them. So he will never join with the accuser against them either. Oh, that's interesting. So how do we get our justice? We have to trust God for justice. Because it's not flesh and blood. It's not human beings that is the fight's against. The enemy that God will deal with is not those human beings. He loves them. When he looks at them through Jesus, just like he looks at you and me through Jesus. So he never deals with us according to sin. He deals with us according to our righteousness in Christ. So he'll never bring us under judgment. But hey, he's not bringing them under judgment either. How does that work when they've done the wrong thing? Or when I do the wrong thing even? How does that work? How does justice come about? Well, God says he's going to deal with the enemy. So he will deal with the demonic things that have been creating this influence and these issues that have caused disunity amongst you, even in the body of Christ in a way or other. He will deal with it because it's not human beings, guys. They're your brothers and sisters. They're the ones, in the end, we're going to stand with and praise Jesus for eternity. That's a cool vision right there. And in that moment, everything is going to fade away. All the hurts are going to fade. They are not the ones that God will deal with. God will deal with the enemy who is the demonic. How does that happen? How does that work? It works by our agreement. Oh, now remember, promises of God aren't automatic. They require our yes, amen, our agreement. So how will God deal with the enemy? He requires our agreement. Hey, that's an interesting thing, isn't it? You mean for justice to come about, I have to come into right agreement. Is unforgiveness right agreement? Unforgiveness is saying that I don't believe that God is able to actually bring about my justice, to heal and restore in this area. So instead, because I don't believe God is able to do that, I'm going to hold someone to ransom and require punishment, require judgment. Now, do you understand? When we do that, God cannot listen to it. Because if he listens to that, he is breaking his covenant with us and with them. And he will not do that. So right there in that moment when we're in unforgiveness, we are out of agreement with God. Which means we're not empowering his justice and his promises in our life. Is that making sense? Am I explaining it well enough? Are you getting this? It's really, really important you get this. Because you guys are going to have to outwork this. You're the ones who are going to commit yourself to outworking this in this body. So, can we forgive? We can. We can because Jesus forgave us. And because when we say, yes, I will forgive, Lord, I'm saying, I know that you are just and that you are able to bring about justice and restore. You are able. God, you are able to restore all that was stolen. Time, influence, friendships, finance, salvation, deliverance, healings. Everything that was stolen in those unjust events, times, God is able to restore when we forgive, because we activate him by our agreement to bring justice to pass. And he's good. He has no problem doing his end. Okay, so don't kind of think, all right, well, now I've forgiven, what are you going to do? He's right, ready, all go. It's actually his character, and it's just pours out of him. But he set things up right from the beginning that he needs our agreement, right? He will not move without us. He will not move without your agreement, right agreement. So that's why it's really important that, hey, I can get freedom in my own life by right agreement, but I'm not here just for me. I'm here for you, and you're here for me, and you're here for each other. We're a body. We're the kingdom coming to pass here on earth. So we need collective right agreement here. Yeah? Walk in forgiveness, guys. With each other, but also with those who aren't necessarily in this body. It's really important, because then we're going to agree with God's ability, not just to bring about justice, but what he does is he has this angelic host that's actually waiting to be activated on our behalf. The word talks about those ministering angels. I think a lot of them are sitting there twiddling thumbs, just kind of waiting. Come on, come into right agreement. I want to do something. And God is saying, let's activate. Now that this is all set in right order, let's activate this angelic host to begin to work on behalf of Bethel Family Centre here in Whyalla. Hey? So everything that's been held up from you guys, there's been a long period of time that there's a whole heap of stuff that's been held up from you. There may be even family members who are meant to be sitting here with you today, that it's all been held up. But God is giving keys in his faithfulness. He's saying, I'm giving you keys. Come into right agreement so that we can then establish justice, establish the promises of God here in this place. You've got it all here ready. You've just got to deal with the things that are holding it up. Okay? Is that okay? Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
All right. I know this is pretty full on. I get it is. Because you will be feeling that sense of, yeah, but if I forgive, and, you know, sometimes there's a name that comes up, it really hurts. It really hurts. We're not denying that things really hurt, and God is not. But he is able to restore you and heal you and turn that for a victory, turn that to his glory. Let him do that. So what happens is, that the way God looks at this, because you've got to understand that this is a lawful agreement that we are in with Christ. It's a covenant, binding covenant, which means that any demonic activity that comes against us is actually illegal activity. That's really kind of cool when you start to think of it in that way. So Jesus paid entirely. He satisfied the law. He set us and fulfilled the punishment, the wrath of God, and the judgment. Right? That's dealt with, satisfied. So by his blood, he's cut a covenant that's dealt with that by law, which means that anything from then on, when we come into covenant with Christ, if it's not according to his heart, his will, his mind, his ways, it's a legal activity. It's come to steal, kill, and destroy. So if it has no legal right, how does it get right? How does it move in? Deception. That's why it needs your agreement. So what we agree with, we empower. So the demonic comes and it deceives and it tries to get your agreement so that you're handing over the very thing that Jesus paid for with his blood. That's why we need to capture these thoughts. Hold them up against truth and go, is this an argument to truth? Because I don't want to agree with it if it is. The beauty of that is, in that moment, we enact that law. It's a legal activity, and God says, absolutely, they have no right. And by your right agreement, that stuff is dealt with instantly. you broke that stronghold by right agreement, because we're already in the covenant that upholds that. So it's that kind of language of when you take captive a thought, you're arresting it, aren't you? So when a robber comes into the house, you see, you arrest them. You're saying, I see you, you're not getting away with it. And you hold them to the law. And the law says, uh-uh, you have no rights here. This is a legal activity. So they're held to ransom, aren't they? They're judged. And God requires the payback. So this is how God deals with the enemy. Now this is my heart, this is my thought on this, and you need to work this out together and through God. I actually don't go to the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from me. That's actually old covenant. New covenant is, it's already mine. And all I have to do is be in right agreement, and it establishes that. And then God himself actually says he fights that battle. He deals with that. So my position now is I actually am positioned in Christ. So I stay seated at rest in Christ. I actually don't need to actually deal or entertain the demonic. I don't have to fight with them. Because lawfully, they have no rights. So it's like, that's a legal activity. Go. No agreement from here. So do you see how God, through our right agreement, he then goes, good, well done. Stay at rest, because Jesus' blood's already paid for this. Payback. Now the demonic actually has to cough up. Everything that was stolen, everything that was taken, they have to hands off. Hands off. And we just possess it by faith. Right agreement. You can see how this is actually really about the rest of God. You know, we're not fighting for something we already have. We're actually realizing he's done it. Let's just put everything in right order. In the courts, you go before the judge in the courts. You don't go fight that person, that offender. You don't go fisticuffs, do you? You don't need to enter that because the law has already established your rights. Did you get that? The law that has been established through the blood of Jesus, the covenant you're in, has already established your rights. You don't have to have fisticuffs. You don't have to fight for it other than to remind God, hey, come into right agreement. He said, yes, that's it. Now we'll enact that. Well done, son. Stay seated. Stay at rest. It's very cool stuff. So why I'm saying this is because God will deal with the enemy. It doesn't mean that you have to strive or do anything other than rest and come into right agreement. And in that rest and right agreement, you're going to find this unity is going to happen between you. There's going to be a forgiveness that will flow between you. It'll be a beauty that's supernatural, that you probably go, wow, I didn't think it was that easy, actually. But it will be, because how God has set things up. He has set things up for us to be at rest. We're just a veil of the covenant. Yeah? Is that making sense? Is that helpful? Because I don't want to move on and have you go, oh, I don't know what she's talking about. Because this is really, really important. Really important for us to realize we're in a new covenant. A new covenant with Christ. And he upholds his end. He just needs our agreement. And that's what it's about. This is something that I think is really specific, and I find it really interesting today and yesterday about government. And this is about the government here, hey? The government here in Wyala and in this church. At the beginning of Amos, so we're going to wind up with this. At the beginning of Amos, it actually lists those different enemies that God is going to deal with, but something that actually says about each of those, it says that he's going to deal with the one who holds the scepter. Now the scepter, symbolic, is rule and power and reigning, right? So through wrong agreement, the Israelites handed over their scepter, and the enemy took it up. Does that sound like agreement? what I agree with, I empower. So sometimes through our wrong agreements, we're empowering, we're handing over the scepter. And I believe that God is going to release things here through right agreement so that you can take that scepter up. So remember, we're not talking about people now, we're talking about demonic influence. And the demonic, I believe that God wants to destroy the demonic influences that have illegally held the scepter here in Wyala. Even in Bethel Church at times. They have illegally held up the unity, the resource, healing, salvation, deliverance, favour, provision, strength, platform, and growth that's actually rightfully yours as the sons of God. I believe that God is looking for the remnant who carry his attributes, right? The few to make way for the many. That through their right agreement, walking in forgiveness and unity, determining to walk together in unity of faith, that the enemy will be reduced, right, by your collective agreement. And that what is going to come out of that is, yes, God will deal with the enemy, and there'll be a restoration to you and a renewal of your confidence, of your vision, your energy, your joy, your faith, an outpouring of healings and miracles. Because what happens in this is when we're not all walking in right agreement, it reduces our confidence because, hey, if I'm handing over my power to something else, how can I walk in power? So God is saying, through right agreement, I want you to take your scepter up again, and I want you to walk in power and authority. I want you to rule and reign with me, he's saying. So do you see, we're moving up levels here, guys. From being the few who God has chosen, who sees these beautiful qualities in, to those that he wants to bring into right agreement, to walk together in unity with one another, but even with the body of Christ in Wyala. And then to even move from that into this, the dealing with everything that's been stolen, restoration coming to the body, but then also that taking up of the scepter and ruling and reigning here, which is actually then you are the influencers. Yeah? You get to change this place through right agreement. But it's not individual agreement. It's individual and collective agreement. Together, you do this as a body. So take up your scepter, guys. Go through this process. Because you realise a person with a scepter who rules and reigns, who has made wrong agreements, is dangerous. They're not a nice person. Right? We don't want that. We want to rule and reign with Christ, in right agreement with him. I believe God has got so much for you. It's just here, ready to go, ready to pop. Right agreement. Is that okay? You feel like you received that and it's all right? I didn't tread all over you. I do actually have a sincere love for you, and I really want to see God's mandate for this church come to pass. And if you can take hold of some of those things, discuss them. Talk with Caleb and Kerry through these things. Come into right agreement with each other. Establish his vision and his heart here, as in God's vision and heart that is speaking through these guys here in this place through your right agreement, and start to see you become influencers here. Start to see the young people built up and flooding into this place, and absolute restoration of those that have gone before coming back and being restored. Those family members who need to be here, God will restore them through our right agreement. Yeah? Let's believe it. He's big enough. He's right, ready to go. He's just waiting for us. Yeah? I think you're awesome. And thank you very much for inviting us here. It's just been a real privilege. We can open it up for a time of ministry, but would you like to do that, Caleb? Or what would you like? Do you like me to... Do you like to open that up? Or are you okay with time of ministry or prayer? All right. So I guess, you know, some of this stuff is hard to pray about, because actually you need to actually do this process and go, I'm thinking this, I'm going to break agreement, come into right agreement. So those things, I actually can't break your agreement for you. That's up to you, because it's your will, and I will never impose that. So that's your process to go home and do. I really encourage you, take that time, set time aside to capture your thoughts and go through this process with Jesus.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.